You're listening to Matters of the Heart podcast,
hosted by Jeremy Watkins
and Sade Champagne.
Tune in to Grindhard Radio at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time every Friday.
And 57WLLE.net, Raleigh's home for old school jams, on Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be discussing love, friendship, family, faith, and more.
Everybody, welcome back again to Matters of the Heart with your host Jeremy Watkins and my other host
Sade Champagne.
We are so excited to bring this week's hot topic, myths and misconceptions, and main topic to you guys. I think you guys are going to be thoroughly filled with just the wonderful content that we have for you this week. We want to thank Cotta Mafiaso from Grindhard Radio from creating our show's theme song. It is so bomb. Appreciate your creative work. Matters of the Heart is focused on love and building healthy, holistic relationships from a grace-based perspective. We'll be discussing romance, family, life, friendship, our relationships with ourselves, our relationship with God, and so much more. Each episode will have five segments: hot topic, myths and misconceptions, our main topic, Q&A, where we answer your questions, and prayer requests, where we pray for you and your loved ones. You can always send in your questions and prayer requests to us on our social media pages at Jeremy Watkins or Sade Champagne. Each episode will air at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Grindhard Radio every Friday and at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Sunday on 57WLLE.net Internet Radio. Each episode will be available to listen to again and download on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Live 365, YouTube, Grindhard Radio, and countless other streaming platforms. Sade, holla back, girl.
Hey, Jeremy, episode 8.
Crazy. Flew past.
I know. It's been wonderful and getting more exciting every single week.
It really is. I'm really excited for this week, just for all the wonderful questions that we have that I know so many people would love to have resolved, answers, and guidance to. So I'm ready to jump in. You know I'm ready to get lit. Are you ready?
I am so ready. Let's go.
Let's go. All right, guys. Segment one, hot topic. Why is it so hard for couples and men and women to verbally communicate intimately with one another, yet so easy to be physically and sexually intimate with one another? Where does this dysfunction come from, and how does it affect romantic connections and relationships? Woo! Y'all came in real hot with that question. Wow. Sade.
Yep.
What do you think? Mm-hmm. What you got?
Well, you know, this has been something that we've been getting in our Q&A segment that people have been sending in to us. And I remember us saying that we just need to talk about this in our hot topics because it is so popular in our culture. And I'm just baffled.
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't it crazy? It's so interesting that the thing that every human being in the world wants most is to love and to be loved, and it is the thing that we're actually the most afraid of, right? And number one, I think that this is a direct reflection of how we have missed the mark on what it really looks like to build family. When we are raised, we are taught on how to do, how to perform, how to fulfill, how to achieve, how to strive, how to succeed. Every single part of our wiring and DNA is to do everything opposite of intimacy, which is why physical and sexual connection, because it has to do with performance and achievement. That's why it's easy for that to give. But this basically reflects on our worldview that as a human social collection and as a human familial collection, the things that we are missing out as we are being developed as children and into adults is actually what is happening inside of you. It is the part of us that is being hidden. It is a part of us that's being masked. It is a part of us as children that we have to get rid of quickly in order to jump into our parents' perfect plans, perfect ideologies, mm-hmm. perfect expectations. Oh, we want them to be in every sport, play our sport. No, we want them to play the flute. No, we want mm-hmm. them to be the top student, so they're in this by five. They gotta if they're not talking and saying sentences by two, then they're failing us. So we gotta get a speech pathologist, and we don't mm-hmm. even know that we are literally destroying and we are desecrating, and we are making the most sacred place in who we are as a human being become the most desecrated place because we have robbed our children and ourselves of being able to discover who we are inside. Because we have already created a world for them without even their input of it of who they're going to be on the outside. And I think this is where it's starting to create so much dysfunction, disconnection, and intimate relationships. Sade, what would be your response to that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you just spoke a whole mouthful of truth. truth, and more truth. If
come
I
on,
had
come
a
on.
Towel to throw at you right now, I would throw it at you.
I'm going to take it, too. I'm going to take that towel. I want a brown one. Don't send a white one, though. They'll get dirty fast.
Throw it at you. And it's like, it's okay. 100% true in what you said. Even with many young women, and actually not just young women, but women of all ages that I mentor, I am shocked by the number of people who will actually go and live with their significant other and their partner, but yet they can't tell them the deepest parts of who they are. And I'm like, you are literally inviting this person into your body, into your space. You're living with them, and you are building a life with them without, and it actually reminds me of a former episode when you were saying that people want to have exclusivity without experience. And people oftentimes, they'll get shocked in their relationships. We're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they cheated on me or this happened. And I'm like, you didn't actually have a relationship with that person. You had a situationship. It's like, because a relationship, the true intimacy has to come first from spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. But we jump so quick into the physical aspect, and then it just, like I said, it shocks me that then people will be so surprised down the line when there's all these issues. But it's like, you didn't actually even have a relationship with that person.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. And I just want to jump into that as well. It's like, mm-hmm. there's something about us where, once again, we have been depraved. We have what I like to say, we have reduced the standard of love, right? What you can do for me, which no person will be able to perfectly fulfill other than God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit themselves, which is why we have to live from that place, which is so important. Because when we live from what they have already done, we will never have to worry about who is performing for us in order for us to know that we are loved. And I think this is where the breakdown is coming from, Sade, is we have made relationships the God of our proof of whether we're worthy to be loved, right? Like, like if he gives me himself physically, if I have these feelings, if he gives his body to me or if she gives his body, if we've had sex, if we're affectionate, then this is as big as the worthiness of my love is for me gets. It's so scary.
Say that again.
So many people and so many of us, even as believers, that the person that we are in human experience with, whatever they give to us physically and sexually, we think this is as big as our worthiness to be loved is and gets. And we don't even know that we were made in our and already God is loving us from the most intimate, from the most immeasurable place where no human being will ever have to compete or no human being will ever have to fill, because it's already being filled and constantly refilled and overflowing in that place with God. And I think this is why we are so seeking to have the tangible experience, the physical one, right? This natural experience, because when it comes to this spiritual experience, which is the experience that fills in the natural experience, this is why we can never have enough. This is why we have to keep having sex and adding more things to what we do in sex and adding more things to what we do physically. This is why we have to see the world and do all these things and have these bucket lists and have all these goals and constantly chasing, pursuing, adding more to the quality of life and adding, because we're constantly trying to fill something that only God himself has already filled, and we won't live from that place. And I think this is actually the origin of the breakdown, which causes us to reproduce a striving for love. From the moment we come out of the womb, our parents are most pleased whenever we bring the report card that meets their approval, and we think that's as good as love gets, and we think that's what love is. And so this is what we bring into our relationships. Now, we have talked about where this dysfunction comes from. Now, what do you think, and how does it affect romantic connections and relationships? Now that we've discovered kind of, Sade, where do you think this comes from? We know that it comes from the childhood, but from your experience, where would you say the dysfunction that you have seen in your past and in your life, where did it take place from as you grew up as a child that you start seeing that actually participate and still be involved in your later adult years in your relationships?
Well, it's been interesting because it's exactly like you said, thinking about my upbringing and even whether if it's at home, it's in church, it's in school, all these places you are taught to perform, you are taught to strive. And especially as women, like we have so much pressure in how we act, how we behave, what we look like, all determine our desirability. And even from a young age, we're taught to perform and be a certain way in order to be approved. So it's something in our makeup and that we're taught in this world, and that that's why you see little girls always playing with dolls and they're always playing with babies. They teach us from a young age to be a mom, to desire a partner, all these things. And not that obviously dolls aren't bad and playing with babies and those things aren't bad, but it's what they're subconsciously telling us. And that I've seen in my own relationships, I don't have many experiences, but I have seen that it was hard for me in the past to be able to open up and really share what was going on in my heart. And it was hard for me to be able to express myself and be able to share different things. And then you feel pressure to be physically intimate, to be sexual with someone, even when you're not ready. And even though I wouldn't allow that pressure to take me too far, the fact that I was still feeling that, I think, is an issue. I've learned over in recent years how to be able to communicate and how to be able to express what's really in my heart and not have to worry so much about a fear of rejection. First off, there is no rejection because God has accepted us, so we are eternally received. And then secondly, worse than feeling rejected is feeling like someone is with you and they don't even know who you really are. They're with a representative of you. They're with who they think that you are, but they don't really know me because I haven't been able to actually open up to them.
Wow. This is a heavy topic. We might have to bring this into the main topic for an episode. How do you feel about that? This is good because I don't want to dive too deep into this.
Yeah.
But, well, that's a heavy one. So we're going to add that one to the main topic. That was fun. Okay, I'm ready to go into segment two because this one I have wrestled with people for years. And I've always wondered, I was like, wait, God, is it true? Let me see in scripture where I can find this. Let me see, Jesus, in where you treat me, can I find this? And when as soon as I say this out loud, you'll know exactly what trigger it will hit. Segment two for myths and misconceptions. Here it is. I can love people from a distance. Sade, how many times have you heard that from others? And how many times have you maybe have spoken that in your own heart because of maybe pain has come, defensiveness or offense has come? And the first thing we think is that when someone shows up and brings the pain that they have with them into their experience with us, the first thing we do is retreat. And then we bring love with us saying, well, love retreats too. And I'm like, wait, does love run from it, though? Right? And I wanted to dive in that. So, Sade, what is your perspective toward loving people from a distance? Is this true?
Well, it is true that many of us struggle with this.
That's definitely true.
It's something that we all struggle with a lot. I would say in my own life that it's been something God has been definitely healing me in, and even I can say in the past couple years, even the past year, even the past 6 months of my life, it's definitely a topic that has been resurfacing and that God is really wanting to bring healing and transformation to me in. Because when it comes to this, it's definitely a supernatural thing to be able to love people as God loves them in the midst of people bringing pain to us and in the midst of sometimes there being dysfunction and hurt and the relationships. And so seeing what that can look like, because we talk about this as well, that there's sometimes people are not going to physically be able to be in your life because all they do is bring abuse. And so you have to set that healthy boundary, but in that healthy boundary, you're still within your heart and spirit loving them as God loves. Definitely a very difficult topic, very touchy, because I get it where people are coming from, but then I also understand that it has to be something that God is working in their hearts, because if not, it does easily just turn into, oh, well, you hurt me, I'm upset, I'm bothered, I'm turning my love off, I'm now putting up this wall because I feel uncomfortable, or you hurt me, or you brought this here. Not healthy either.
Wow. Wow. I'm going to start my response off like this. I think that this myth becomes a truth when we replace distance with this particular word. I can love mm-hmm. people from a boundary, not a distance, but I can people from a boundary. And I wanted to add that in because it's a little different. Normally we just go immediately into debunking the content that we carry in our hearts, that belief system. But I think in this, we are close to a truth, but being close to a truth still doesn't make it a truth. But when we add the truth, now we begin to see what we've been missing out on when we actually remain in love towards others who may still carry hurt and offense towards us, right? I can love you from a boundary. Distance says, what distance can create is we have to ask ourselves the question, because love has a process of remaining, right? Love communicates, this is what you're doing to hurt me. This is how it feels when you do this to me. When you say these things to me, this is the thoughts that come into my head. Now, my genuine and my general stance is to believe the best about you. But when the best of you doesn't show up, I have to ask you this question. Is this really how you want to treat me? Okay? That's the process. That's the process when pain and offense shows up. Now we have to ask ourselves, if we are not going through that process to be able to go through a communication step with the people that we say that we love, that we're in relationship with, then that means that we have created a foundation of false love, not only for ourselves, for the other person, and maybe that other person doesn't know that the first time you fail them, that is the only chance that they have to actually get it right with you. What if the people that we have committed ourselves to have no idea that the love that you said yes to with them is actually based on one chance, one continue, one lifeline in order to practice loving you? And the minute that they fall short, they have no idea that you are already prepared to pack your bags and run from the hills from the love you said yes to. We have to ask ourselves this question. Because one of the things, Sade, with most people who say, I can love people from a distance, are usually the people who have not communicated the history of their pain. Number two, haven't been healed from the history of that pain. And then number three, haven't told them what this does to them when a person does this to them. So that the other person can be aware, and that if it is happening, how can we always come back to a place of reconciliation? This is what causes I can love people from a distance to become a lie that we tell ourselves, and it is a direct reflection that the pain that has happened to us before is usually the pain that we're still living in. The pain that has happened to us before, Sade, we're still living in today. I'm very thankful. I want to give a testimony. Sade and I have walked through, we've known each other for 5 years, and over the past year, we have walked through so many trials and tribulations with our friendship. And one of the things that me and Sade always come back to a place whenever we are tried in our friendship, no matter what the outer or inner battle is, she says, Jeremy, our friendship is always worth fighting for and preserving. That is the first thing that we stand on before we even go into the conflict or challenge that we may want to create distance towards one another in. So if we haven't even made a decision about a relationship being worth fighting for or preserving on both sides, then it doesn't even matter what we've communicated, because you can say your place and I can say my place, but the grounds that we stand on is retreat no matter what the response is. Now, I know this is a lot, and I love this topic, and I've been ready to go on this topic with you, Sada, and I want to say this. I can love people from a distance isn't just you leaving people physically, but there are people who are in relationships, marriages, and friendships who are already left their people that they said that they would love, but they're still in the actual physical presence of the relationship. But internally, they've already packed their bags and they've retreated. They're already loving from a distance. They're already on the other side of the home that they've established internally. They've already created that separation. They've already created that space. So I can love people from a distance isn't just a defense mechanism, from the fear of pain letting in, but it's also the defense mechanism and the fear mechanism that we allow into our belief system with love, that we can even be present in relationship and still be a million miles away from the person because they don't even know that they've done something to trigger pain. Because here's the thing. Just because someone has done something doesn't mean they have actually hurt you. And we have to know the difference between something that has triggered pain and caused pain. Do we know the difference? And we have misdiagnosed triggers for causes and causes for triggers because we will not go into the experience of having the intimate communication that says, I will always believe the best in you and by you, by having this conversation that says, this is what you did it to make me feel or think and act this way. And I need to know, is this really the truth from your heart? Do you really want to hurt me? And most of the time, guess what? That person didn't even know that it even caused the pain. And so I think that this is a really great challenge for all of us, Sade, especially as we pursue deep and intimate relationships with one another, is that we have to ask ourselves, are we creating the distance from a place of trigger or cause? And have we gone to the conversation to have with those people or person to let them know that what they've done has caused a space in us and we don't want to be miles away. In fact, we want to be face to face. And I think it's very challenging for all of us to really challenge ourselves to say, you know what, honestly, it's not you, it's my perspective of you that has caused me to create this distance.
And it's interesting because as you were talking and I was listening, I also was feeling that people also choose this, they'll say this and take on this belief, I can love people from a distance, as a survival mode. You know, they take it because it's another way of them trying to protect and preserve their own hearts. So they feel if I can create this type of box that I can be in, and these are the things that I will not put up with. And like you said, not from the place of actually communicating with the person, like, hey, these are some sore areas for me that I'm still healing in. And so I just want to be aware. So if we are coming upon this or we're facing this, so you can know that this is something that is a sensitive area for me, but they won't. It's usually like, well, if you do this, this, then I'm out. But, you know, it goes back to even within our first segment, everything that we do with people these days, a lot of times is transactional. And I think that's where the issue comes in. It's not actual relationship. So then when it's relationship, you have to say, oh, so that means sticking around and working through stuff. I remember, this is so funny. There's another testimony in this. I remember one time with my best friend, Lisa, and we had some challenges in our friendship a while ago, which is so funny because we both are way more relaxed now and just so much more carefree. But I remember I had told her, and I was in tears and she was in tears, and I was like, I'm going to face, you know, and she told me, she was like, well, you can take as much space as you need, but I'm not going anywhere.
Yes, I love that.
She's like, I'm not going anywhere. And so it's so funny to see how even in that and her feeling my pain, she was letting me know, you can take whatever you need, but I'm not removing myself from being in your life and from what we share. She goes, I know that this is from God and that we are connected, that it is divine for God to have connected us and for us to become friends, and I'm not willing to let that go.
Considered, I can love people from a distance, debunked.
Yes, exactly.
I can
love people, you said, from a boundary. That's good, Jeremy.
From a boundary. I can love people from a boundary, not distance. Because boundary is like we're in the same room, but in this space where there is a lack of agreement with how we want to be loved, doesn't mean that I have to leave the relationship just because in this space you don't know how to love me. We expect everyone to come to know how to love us in every facet of our being, and the only person who knows how to do that is Jesus. He's the only person.
Boom.
But we put this same place and this same expectation on others, and we're like, you know, every man and every woman. And I was like, wait a minute, hold up, wait a second. It can't be every person. From what it sounds like in the history of your experiences, you call it quits or you create distance. You pack your bag as soon as you realize that people don't know how to love you. Now, here's the thing. The only way that they can learn how to love you is if you tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, we have this expectation, oh, he's so nice. Oh, she's so lovely. Oh, my God, she's so affectionate. Oh, my God, she loves it. We get so caught up in the fetish of what someone naturally brings into the experience from performance and striving. But the minute that it comes to intimacy, I need to tell this person, this is how I want to be loved. And then all of a sudden, because you have not taken that responsibility to teach this person how you want to be loved, then all of a sudden now they are the culprit for ensuring that you don't have the experience you've always wanted when you're the one who never told them. And we have to become accountable for that. We need to stop man and woman shaming just because we have a history of failed relationships. Can I be honest? Because you know it's what we do. If you have a continual experience of experiencing the same type of experiences in your relationship, you are the common denominator. I'm going to say that one more time. If there is a constant stream of every single person you choose and their behavior is the same, you are the common denominator. I do not say that from a place of shame or in condemnation.
Mm-mm.
I am saying that that is a sign of a lack of intimacy towards yourself to not be able to look inside to say, what is it in me that draws this type of behavior and mistreatment and underdeserving of love that I know that I don't want to have? What is it that I'm not communicating to the people that I have become connected with that makes them think that their failures towards loving me is the way that I want to be loved? What have we not taught them? What have we not told them? What have we not communicated? What have we not shared? And just like the last hot topic, this bleeds into this, Sade, that when we begin to learn how to communicate intimately, we can start loving people from the boundary, and then guess what? We can start removing the boundaries. But when we love people from a distance, sometimes we've traveled too far in order to come back to, because by the time we've tried to come back to trying to reconcile the relationship, that person is long gone because you took too long to try to come back to communicate something that that person was sent to actually be taught by you to love you.
Wow. Wow.
So be careful with distance. You ever have that experience where I've had that experience where I've dated people in my past or people have dated me in the past 2 years later? I'm like, I just realized that you were a really great girl and I missed it and now I'm better and now my life is great. Now I'm a good dad. And now, and they're like, bro, that's too long. I traveled too far to try to record, or vice versa. I've had that experience because I was living from a place of distance instead of boundary, where I could have reconciled something. Even if it wasn't romantically supposed to be that way, I could have sustained a friendship, a healthy connection, a great imprint in my past of how I remain connected in healthy places instead of retreating or running or hiding and then gender shaming. I could have actually done the diligence of saying, hey, you know what? I've realized me and you don't work together, but I don't want to grow in distance towards you. I actually want to stay connected to you because just because we don't know how to love each other romantically doesn't mean I don't know how to love you as a friend.
That's so good, Jeremy. And I want to add to that, this goes along with actually communicating to people our needs and how to love us and how to be there for us and support us. We also have to be patient with one another because sometimes people will think that just because they told you once that that's enough, and then they don't even give you the opportunity to grow into that. And I know that's one of the things you always tell me is you're like, you're so patient. And I know like Christina Renee's like, you're like one of the most patient people I've ever met. And I'm like, well, God is supernaturally patient with me. And so he's gifted me and has shown me over time how to be able to extend that same patience to other people because it takes time. It's not just you tell someone and overnight it's just things are changing like that. It can happen, but usually it's a process of growing into that. And we don't want to do that. We want people to just up and change. And because I said something, you need to do it just like this, exactly like this, because I said it. And I'm like, well, that's not a relationship. That once again sounds like a transaction or dominating over someone. And you can never get the fullest potential with someone from that place.
Wow. The hot topic and the myths and misconceptions both need to be main topics. We are on fire this week. I love it. Guys, I'm so excited for segment 3 main topic. There are a handful of things that I love letting Sade run the show with outside of everything. She knows that. I tell her that. I was like, girl, if it wasn't for you running the show, I don't know where I would be. I'm a hot mess.
No.
But it's all good. I love it. We balance each other out. But what I love about this one, this is something that I feel like is in the heart of almost every person in the world, not just believers. And I feel like this is something that's going to give so many people, if not every person, a real directive of what we're really living from and how we never actually really wanted to live from that place and how we don't want to today. Mm. So, Sade, I want to ask you the question, what is the law?
What is the law? So to make it as in simple terms as possible, the law is we are what we have, we are what we do, we are what we say, we are what this world says, we are based on feelings, and then also that we are our saviors. And that's a very common term. And of course, if you ask most people, they're not going to say, I'm my own savior, but we live our lives as if we are our own savior. The law is not just something that's in church terms or religious terms or Christianity terms. It's in every system of this world. It's the same as people saying the law of karma of you get what you give or whatever you put out into the world is what will happen to you and all of those things. It's all based on what you do, what you can have, what you can get, and it excludes God from being able to be God for us, to be our father, be our parent, be our savior, be our best friend, and we now put ourselves in the place of having to care for ourselves, defend ourselves, and provide ourselves life. And nothing good can ever come out of living from the law, because how much do you have to do in order to get it right? You always have to give more, do more, say more. You will always have to supply more, and there will always be a larger demand that you will never be able to fulfill, and it'll never satisfy.
Wow. I'm just breathing in the moment for everybody that's listening to this and every person in the world that just realized that we are in love with something that we actually don't desire or want to live from. What is it that keeps us living in the law? What keeps us here?
Well, I want to say that we are often taught that we have a sinful nature, which is not true. We do not have a sinful nature, but we are born into sin from this world. But just because you're born into something doesn't mean that's your actual nature, because it also says that eternity is written on the heart of every man, meaning that people know the truth. Their hearts know the truth when they hear it, even if they may not be ready to receive it yet, even if it may be offensive to them. Because think about it. If people have been thinking their whole lives that you have to earn, you have to work, you have to sacrifice, you have to save yourself and help yourself because no one else is going to do it for you. God helps those who help themselves. The list is so long. And then you come and now tell people that it's not based on what you do. It's not based on what you have. It's not based on where you come from. But God loves you because of who God created you to be, and you came from God, and now God wants to serve you with eternal life. And through the way that God loves you, that God desires that you will love him from that love, that to a lot of people is upsetting, because I done did all this work and I spent all this time, Jeremy, and I've been doing all this and building my castle and my empire, and now you're telling me that it means nothing? And so
crazy.
It can be very offensive to people, and we've been taught this in the world, and so that's why grace is one of the hardest things for a lot of people at first to receive, because they have so much crap theology and doctrine and beliefs that they have to work through in order for them to receive the simplicity of it, which Jesus said that you will receive the kingdom as a child, meaning it's something that's way more simple, but obviously we make it very difficult.
Wow. How do we get out of the law? How do we leave this place? How do we forever stay away from abiding in this place? And when I think about the law, the two words that come to mind, exhaustion and depletion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so interesting that when I think of myself, when I think of people that I know are just watching the world as a whole collection, I think about how so many people live from this place, and yet you see like the external experience, like, man, they look like they have it all. And then when you look at the internal parts, they're suffering, they're dying, they're depleted, they're exhausted. They are living from so many perverted places because they just want to feel something for the first time. They are clung mm-hmm. to so much brokenness and so much emptiness and anything to just make them feel alive, because they have mm-hmm. exhausted all of their humanity on producing things that have no life to it. Let me say that one more time. Mm-hmm. I have exhausted my life creating things that do not have life to it. It doesn't have a heartbeat. It doesn't have a pulse. A home doesn't have a pulse. A bank account doesn't have a pulse. My American dream doesn't have a pulse. It is not leaving. It is not breathing. It's just a thing. It's an inanimate object. And how we have exhausted ourselves to produce something that does not have life, to the sacrifice and cost that we are willing to sacrifice our own for it, and wonder why we're dying while trying to live, while making everybody else looking like we have the life that is more abundantly. So I want us to state that, and I want to go back to my question before my response. Mm-hmm. How do we leave this place for good, Sade, and never come back to it?
One of the most powerful things that my pastors had shared with me, and it kind of makes me laugh when I think about it now, but they said that nothing in this world can bring you eternal life except for Jesus. Nothing in this world can raise you from the grave except for Jesus. Guess what? Feeding the homeless cannot raise you from the grave. Being nice to people and loving people cannot raise you from the grave. Saving all your money cannot raise you from the grave. Being a virgin until you're married cannot save you from the grave. Getting married and having kids cannot raise you from the grave. The list is long. Going on mission trips cannot raise you from the grave. The only one who can raise you from the grave is Jesus Christ. He is the only one who gives us eternal life for free as a gift. And then everything that will flow from our lives and that we desire to do and that we're passionate about will just come from having fun and from that passion and excitement. But we should never get confused into thinking that anything in this world, whether it be good or bad, can raise us from the grave. Jesus is the only one who can give us eternal life. And so it says in Matthew 11:28, where Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You first have to recognize, are you tired? Some people may not be tired yet. There's some people who have a stronger willpower than others, and their willpower might carry them through the rest of this life, that they will just work hard and do all the things that they think they need to do, and for them, they think it'll be fine. But there's other people like myself where I have great willpower, but my willpower gave out when my mental health and spiritual and emotional health were suffering, and I knew that there had to be another way. I needed to know the God that came to me as a little girl. And so people have to be able to recognize, are they tired? And be honest with themselves. Are you tired? And not just tired like I need to go to bed, you know, by a certain time and get enough rest each day. But do you feel tired in your soul? Do you feel weary in your mind? Do you feel anxious? Are you always beating yourself up? Are you tough on yourself? If any of these answers to these questions are yes, then we want you to know there's a better way. There's a life that you can have in Jesus that you don't have to go back to these systems in the world. And even should you be a part of these systems in the sense of, okay, I work, I have goals or aspirations, they will never become a part of your identity, and you will never be confused into thinking that those things or those people will raise you from the grave and give you eternal life, because you know that only Jesus can do that. And so it's recognizing. That's the very first thing, is recognizing, and then being able to sit at the feet of Jesus, simply listening to, watching, reading, receiving, asking God, what is the truth? And I would say a lot of times, even people asking God first, but sometimes the God that people know is not the real God. So if you tell someone right now, just talk to God, ask them, and they don't really know who God is, or they have horrible theology, the God that they hear from is going to be the God who tells them what they need to do, and it's not going to be the God of the Bible. And so that's why I personally say it's important for people to sit and actually listen to messages, watch and receive messages, to really learn about who God is and what the grace of God is, so they can actually begin to know what God sounds like and who God is. And then they're actually able to hear the Holy Spirit, hearing God, hearing Jesus speak to them, and then they'll be able to receive the truth a lot better. Because if not, a lot of other people tell, they're like, well, just go and read the Bible. Just go and pray. Go and do that. I'm like, okay, yes, supernaturally, the Holy Spirit can speak to a person in such a way where their theology and their doctrine can begin to crumble. But oftentimes, people will be praying and they'll be speaking to God or thinking that they're speaking to God. And I do believe in a way they are, but what they hear is not who God really is. So I think it's important for people to listen to, watch, and receive messages that are the truth about who God is, and be willing to lay down those things that they have been taught for a long time that maybe are very popular, but that have been bringing them death. And I'm not saying it's easy, but the good news If a person is already ready to be transformed, if they are tired, they're exhausted, and they're ready for another way, God is already there with them. God is already in it, and God will be the one to bring it about in them and help them to receive that healing and be free from the law.
You already know what that breathing means.
You're sitting.
Oh, my gosh. Mm. Well, if I had a gavel, I think I'm going to bring a gavel onto our show. So when people hear me hit it, it means we have officially destroyed Can we get
You're
a vote, audience, please? Send us some messages. Let us know. Add the gavel, Jer, because when we slay it, it's just like, it's done. It's we ate it. It's good. Thank you, Sade, for bringing such an absolute response to this question to direct all of us to show us where to go other than here and the only place for us to be. Oh, man, so good.
I just want to end off with this segment with saying that Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. Jesus came to complete the law, meaning that that system is old. It's never was a part of God's plan for us. God never wanted us to live by a bunch of rules and systems. God created us to live from relationship. God created us to live from family, from friendship. And so what's so beautiful is that when you receive Jesus into your heart, guess what? You will be living by the greatest law of all, the law of love and liberty through Christ Jesus. And everything else in your life will flow from that place. And it's the most beautiful, amazing, exciting, exhilarating, peaceful place ever. And you'll find yourself being even more structured, more disciplined, more focused, more all those things that you desired before. They will naturally come through the grace of Jesus.
I can't even go into our next segment. See, this is why you can't do shows with Sade. You cannot finish the show because you didn't got toe up for
It's okay. Just breathe it in.
We're just going, and y'all hear the breath. Now you know as an audience we're doing it together. We're just going to easily, slowly move to the next.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Super slayed. Segment 4 for our Q&A section. This is where we answer a few questions that you guys sent to us. I'm super excited for us to dive into this part. And if you guys ever have any questions that you want to send, you can always message us on our social media pages at Jeremy Watkins or Sade Champagne. All right, question number 1, Sade, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this saying that whatever you won't do for your man, another woman will?
That is a very popular statement. And it drives me batty. It drives me batty. I feel like it's another way in our society to pressure women into being ways and doing things and saying things just so that they can stay in a relationship and so that they won't be alone, or that pressure because they are not in a relationship or because they are alone. You know, because I think to myself, that doesn't sound like a healthy relationship. Like, what kind of relationship would I want to be in with someone where, oh, if you don't do this for me, I will find someone else who will do it for me? Then it looks like we don't have a relationship to begin with, because you don't see me as a human being. You see me as a plastic doll, and that's what you need if you're looking, or a robot, if that's what you're looking for someone that will always see things your way from however you think or how you see things and not from an actual relationship. So those are some of my initial thoughts. What do you think about that, Jeremy?
Wow. I can second that with that. I'm just saying, I mean, as a man, I'll put it like this. I have a question. If you're a woman, asking this, which it sounds like it could be, I don't know, it could be a man wanting to know. And if I'm that man and you won't do things for me, I got a question. Why are you with me? Why are you in this relationship to not bring enjoyment to it for me? Why are you in this relationship to withhold from me? Why would there be any space in your mind to think that someone else could do this for me better than you? And if you are that person, my question is, why are you with me? So, and to attack you that you're not a loving person, but I feel like for this, if there is like this is if there is a place of withholding, I have to ask you the question is are you really ready to be in a dating relationship or a romantic relationship if there mm-hmm. are things that you won't do and you think about, well, could someone else do it? Because that's not what a relationship is about. It's about inviting someone into a space that says, the way that he wants to be loved, I am the person who says, yes, it's me. I would love to, right?
And so
I feel like this completely opposes the idea of what it really means to go into an intimate relationship. It feels like it opposed that. So that would be my person. If I'm the man who has a woman that won't do things for me, I'm going to end that relationship. Because number one, I'm not going to allow myself to be put in the position where I desire someone else to fill that space. Number two, I won't put myself in a position to allow my worthiness to be reduced to someone withholding from me. I'm not worthy of that. And you are a person that is more worthy than you withholding from someone. So those would be my responses towards that, of to that mindset. It is a proof of insecurity, a little bit of manipulation, and some control. And I would encourage, if anyone is living from this belief system, to really ask yourself, what is it in you that says, I want to be loved? And then there's this other side of you that says, but this is what I won't do for love. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but if there are certain things that you won't do for love that actually says this is what love is, then maybe there's a part of you that should go through an experience with God and says, God, I need to know what love looks like through you. And we all should have that first. So, yeah, that would be my response to that, Shade.
And I like how you clarified what is actually love, because, of course, people will say, like, just do anything for your significant other, your partner. And it's like, well, if that don't look like love, then obviously you don't have to do that. If it's not something that you know that would God is obviously inviting in your relationship and is a part of that, then it's not love. So I think we're on the same page.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Question number two. Do you believe that cheating is a deal breaker?
It's a good question.
I wish you could have heard your voice when you said that. Okay. She's like, good question.
Because I'm like, some of these questions they send in to us, I'm like, man, I'm like, I have to take a breath.
It's like a shot of liquor, ain't it? Oh, my gosh.
I'll let you take a stab at this first, Jeremy, while I gather my thoughts.
Let's say we're talking about marriage. It depends on the experience, honestly. Honestly, it depends. Like, it depends on where I'm at, where what God is saying. Like, there's so much involved in that. In a marital standpoint, I'll say that depends. That's a variable. In me today, if I was deeply in love with someone and they fell into that place, I would probably choose to reconcile first. And if we couldn't reconcile, then sure. So it's not necessarily a deal breaker for me in marriage, but in a relationship, absolutely. 180%. That is a precursor for what I do not want to spend the rest of my life with someone having to battle with it. If I enough for them. If it's happening in a relationship, it is already a sign of what I don't want to experience again in a marriage, you know, because in relationships, it's a different weight than marriage, at least I'll say, because I've been married before and divorced. It's a completely different weight that you carry. It's heavier because now we have made a decision that all of everything that we're experiencing, both intimately and externally, we are now one in. Completely different space to carry than relationships. Relationships, we can still have guards up and still be together. We can still be distant towards one another, still be together. We can still be able to mistreat each other and still be together and say, this is enough to stay. And we can do that in marriage too, but once again, the goal of marriage is to be one in everything, right? And relationship doesn't necessarily have that formation. So if you have already displayed to me that I'm not enough for you in a relationship, there's no point of even thinking about marrying you because I'll never be enough then. So that will be my take on it, depending on what form of a relationship happens. If it's in relationship, absolutely. If it's in marriage, variable. That would be my response to it.
Yeah, I think especially in a relationship and not being married, when it comes with cheating, that also means that there's most likely some lying involved and deceitfulness, possibly some manipulation. So there's a lot of areas that will need to be healed, and they're not married. You're right that it is a big deal, period, but it's definitely a really big deal and a sign, because it's like, how will they even be able to sustain to get into being married? So for me, if I'm not married, it's definitely a deal breaker. I have in the past been cheated on. I didn't find out until later on down the line, and it is very hurtful, and it is something that you take inward. Thankfully, I don't now, thank God, but at that time, it's like it's something that you take inward, and you really reflect on yourself and things about you, and so it's a really heavy thing. I think in marriage, it is definitely some variables. It depends and what the extent of that relationship is, and also if you and your spouse are willing to be able to really work through and reconcile that and take that time and to be able to really heal. And so I don't wish it upon anyone. I'll say that, because from what I've been told, even with couples who have remained together, some of them have definitely completely healed from it and completely been transformed, and they would say their relationship is in the best place ever. And then others have said where that in the back of their mind, it's still something that they hate of and that they wonder about. I think it definitely depends on the person. For non-marriage, definitely a deal breaker. For marriage, it depends. Yeah.
I agree. Oh, that's a good question. Number three is from Haley. Hey, Hale, how you doing? Is this our favorite Haley?
Hi.
This is the young.
Yes, Haley.
What's up, girl? Hey, girl. Hey, shout out. Haley wants to know, how do you protect yourself from envy?
Yeah. Well, this is something God has definitely brought so much healing to my life in. And I would say it really starts with getting with God to learn more and more about who God is and what that means about me and what God says about my life. Because I was really big, Jeremy, on comparing myself to other people, always basing other people's opinions on my life and always wanting what other people had. And God really had to bring a lot of healing to me for me to see God for who God really is and to see myself as God sees me. And so now I can celebrate other people. Now I don't get jealous of other people. I'm not comparing myself to them. And if a lie tries to sneak in, I understand that that's a lie coming from the outside of me, because it sure as heck doesn't live from within me anymore. And this world obviously is full of temptation to want to make us feel envious and feel jealous and bitter. But the good news is, God is able to truly heal us from that and help us to really enjoy who we are and enjoy our lives and be laser focused in looking at God and not looking at around us and what other people may have and what we think that means about us. So that would be my response.
Boom, 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 boom. I could try to say something, but I don't think I need to say something. So just That's so good. Haley, Sade got you on that one. Touche. That's all I got. Touche. That's so good. All right, guys, we're going to move into segment five, which is one of my favorite segments, where we get to pray for you. Anytime that you guys have any prayer requests, please, please, please message me or Sade on our social media pages. We would love to share some words of encouragement to you. And just let you know that we're partnering with you for believing for whatever it is that you're believing God for. So our first prayer request is from Caitlin, saying she needs a car. Sade, I'd love to jump in and go ahead and start our prayer for Caitlin. God, Sade, both and I have both experienced you giving us free cars before multiple times in life. So we know how much of a great provider you are, not just in everything, but especially in this one thing. So God, just as much as I know that you love us as much as you love Caden, God, we are believing and partnering with you that you already have a car in provision for her. So Father, I pray that you would open Caitlin's heart to receive this precious gift from you and to trust you and to lead you into you doing the most abundant and most generous things for the children that you have, God, and the ones that you love. And we thank you for being our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Prayer request number two is from Anonymous. Pray for me. I notice I am addicted to food.
All right, so I will pray for this person. Father God, we thank you so much for your beloved child. Nothing is impossible for you. I've seen in my own life where I used to have a very unhealthy relationship with food, and it was not food that was, it was other things in my life where I needed healing in, and food was just or manifestation of the pain that I had in my heart. And so I just pray for this person, Jesus, and I just pray for the pain in their heart and for the trauma that they have experienced and that is drawing them into being addicted to food. I thank you that you're bringing healing to them, that you are even changing how they see food, how they see themselves. I pray for their self-esteem and their confidence. I pray for their for a healthy body image and that they will see that they are one with you and that they were created in your image and just any area of their lives where they have been longing for your love and for your grace and transformation, that you are filling them up to overflow and that they'll realize they never have to be on empty again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Third prayer request from Cassie. She wants us to pray for safety and protection. I'd love to pray for that for Cassie. God, we just thank you that we know that you are the God who defends your beloved. God, you are already defending Cassie. God, we pray that as you hide her in the shadow of your wings, God, you are El Shaddai. There is no one who can overthrow your defense over those you love. God, we thank you so much, Lord, that you have a hedge of protection around her. God, you have angel armies surrounded around her every step and every breath. God, we thank you that your presence is always near. There's never a place where you get distance or separate, whereas we have to be concerned who could bypass your security. So, God, we thank you that Cassie is gently and tightly held in your hands and that, God, there's never a moment where you look away from her. And we thank you for that, Jesus, and we thank you for that, Father, in your love. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right. Our fourth prayer request is from Esther. Please pray for my hubby. His job is really hard labor. I ask God that he comes home fast and safely. Sade, would you like to pray for Esther?
Yes, I'd love to. Father God, we thank you so much for your beloved daughter Esther and for her husband. And even right now, Father God, I thank you for opening up new job opportunity for him where it will be less labor and he'll make more money. I pray that he'll actually even work less and receive more. You know, that's one of my favorite prayers to pray for people, Jesus. I pray that you are keeping him safe while he's at work and that you're just continuing to watch over him. Also praying for peace for Esther, and thank you for just supernaturally taking care of their finances and for providing for them in ways that they would have never imagined. Thank you, God, that nothing is too hard for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And for our final prayer request, we have Sanisha for a safe return of her two dogs that were taken. I'd love to pray for you, Sanisha. God, we just pray that right now, God, that you would reconcile Sanisha's relationship with her dogs. God, I pray that in this moment, that God, you already know where they are located, Father. I pray that you would return them to her. God, I pray that you would just allow the person who has them in their possession, whether they're stolen or not, God, that you would just use the character of a person whose heart you have touched and a heart that you speak to lead them back to them safely. Father, I pray that you keep them out of harm's way, that you are feeding them, that you are taking the best care of them. God, if you are taking care of the birds, God, of the sky, who don't even know how to feed themselves, God, you are taking care of Sanisha's dogs. So, God, we thank you for taking proper care of them, and I pray that, God, you would return her to her and that you would meet her in this place, God, and I pray that you just bring reconciliation in this area of her relationship with her pets. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Sade, guess what?
That's the end of episode 8! Oh, my God! Oh,
how is this possible? Oh.
Yeah, he had me all the time laughing so hard.
Girl, look. Like, because me and Sade do stuff, and we'd be like, did we just drop, like, a whole project? Like, when did that happen? How did this happen?
I know. Supernatural grace.
Man. Supernatural grace. Man, it's so great. Man, we want to thank you guys for partnering with us with every episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to episode 8 of Matters of the Heart with myself, Jeremy Watkins, and my co-host,
Sade Champagne.
We want to just let you know that each episode of Matters of the Heart will be available to listen to again and download on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Live 365, YouTube, Grindhard Radio, and countless other streaming platforms. We'll see you next Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Grindhard Radio and next Sunday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on 57WLLE.net Internet Radio for a brand new episode. Have a great night, you guys. Peace.